Y'all, I am so excited to be working again with Notes candles because I have been nonstop burning these in my house. I am very picky about the candles I keep burning around my house because so many fragrances have this unnatural, super sweet, chemically, you know, smell that's just consuming your home. And honestly, you guys, after learning that the candle industry contributes to an insurmountable amount of non-recyclable waste, carbon emissions, and toxicity in our air, I am even more picky, and that's why I am so glad I am working with Notes. So Notes has created a refillable candle system that allows you to use your candle vessel again and again and again so you do not become part of the problem. It is so easy to use, you guys. The candles are made with fragrance wax beads. So all you do is place the wick in your reusable Notes jar, fill it up with wax beads, enjoy your fragrance up for up to 36 hours, and then just do it all over again when you're ready for a new one. And you guys, you do not have to settle for less than exciting fragrances with Notes either. In fact, their collection of 13 amazing fragrances are handcrafted by fragrance experts in their home base of South Carolina, and they are to die for. They smell amazing. I have been loving burning the Cintal and Atlas Cedar scent. It's woodsy, calming, smells just like one of the bougiest fragrances on the market. Y'all know what I'm talking about, and I cannot get enough. I love it. There's so many other amazing ones like oat milk and balls and berry, vanilla and pepperwood. You name it, they've got it. So you guys, please do yourself a favor, check it out. Be a responsible consumer while not giving up high quality home fragrance by making the switch to Notes. You can build your own custom starter kit right now at notescandle.com/healthy. Right now, Notes is giving listeners 15% off and free shipping when you buy a Notes starter kit using healthy. Just use code healthy when placing your order. That's code healthy at notescandle.com/healthy. So on my Instagram, I announced to you guys that I was on Dr. Phil. Because inevitably, you guys, relationships are hard. Friendships are hard. People are complex. This is a complicated thing, but God provides solutions. Welcome back, everybody, to the podcast. I am your host, Janine Amapola Ward, and happy Tuesday. If you are listening on a Tuesday, I post every single Tuesday. If you are new here, I have been doing this podcast since July 2020, I think, and it has been such a blessing. Really, my heart and my goal is to help you thrive all aspects of life God's way. And so I just turned 30. I got married 4.5 months ago. So I'm still navigating so many different things in my own life, but I have gone through my 20s and learned things the hard way and then learned that God's way truly was the best way. And so this podcast is to provide you guys tips, advice, navigating your 20s, your life, and honestly, a ton of biblical and Christian advice because I am a Christian and I really have found that when you follow God's ways, you will have a more blessed life. And so trust me, I did not follow God's ways in a lot of my life. And you learn that out in my book of how I didn't follow God and how I tried to follow my own way and it just didn't work. So that was kind of a bummer. And so yeah, if you're new here, thank you for listening. I hope you guys will stick around, subscribe. If you're returning, welcome back to the podcast, you guys. I want to give you guys a couple updates before we get into today's episode regarding merch, some life updates, where we're at, and just what's been going on. So I hope you guys enjoy today's episode. We're going to have some fun. We're also going to be talking all about friendship today. Why is friendship so hard? Why is this so difficult? What do good friendships look like? What does it look like when you stop being friends with somebody? I want to get all into this topic of friendship and loneliness because I asked you guys on my Instagram, what do you want me to talk about? And this was the resounding answer of please talk about friendships. And so clearly there's a need here. So let's dive into today's episode. Okay, so before we get into today's topic, I want to chat about what the heck has been going on. So first of all, I hope you guys are loving season 5 so far. I have really put a ton of effort into this season. I'm trying to do more in person, more studio, more real life, real time episodes. And I just feel like those are so much better than the virtual ones. Occasionally, there's going to be some virtual ones, but I'm really trying my best to avoid those. So I've really upped the production quality. And I really want to say thank you guys, because if you guys listening and reposting and sharing this, we're able to afford to be able to pay for studios and a team and stuff like that. And so thank you guys. I am really trying my best to up the quality. It does take finances to do so. So thank you guys. And also I want to let you guys know that Caleb and I do have a Patreon where we post 2 extra episodes every single month. We get more candid, unfiltered, raw in there. It's only $9.99 a month. And we give you guys 2 extra episodes. So go check that out. The link is in the bio. Another thing I want to talk about, you guys, as you know, my book has been out for already over a week. I wrote a book called Becoming Happy and Healthy, Real Life Advice on Friendship, Dating, Career, and Everything Else You Care About. So as I mentioned in the beginning of this in the beginning of this podcast, I did things wrong and I went through so many different things in my life in my 20s of just navigating the complications and questions of life. And I gave you guys a practical, authentic, biblical guide of how to navigate these struggles you guys are facing. And so there's 14 chapters on body image, insecurities, dating, career, how to hear the voice of God, habits, wellness, solo, how to be content being alone, singleness. I mean, there's so much. How to find your faith and follow God. So many different things that you guys asked me, I compiled into one book so you guys could go back to this over and over and over and find the solutions you've been looking for God's way and also through my story. So it is available now. Many of you guys are already reading it. It's been so amazing seeing the feedback, the reviews. So you guys, if you have read it already, it would be amazing if you could leave a review on Amazon. That blesses me so much. And I pray this book continues to bless you. If it does, share it with a friend. And I really hope that this is a book that you find freedom and solutions in. So that's been crazy. It's available now. It's been out for a week and it's just been so cool seeing you guys read this book and share what you guys are learning. So continue to share with me what you're liking in the book and what you're getting out of it. Another thing I want to talk about is merch. So you guys, I did not have an intention of making book merch, which I was like, why did I not do that? But originally I created merch just to send out to like influencer PR. And once I posted it, so many of you guys were like, please, I want this merch. I want this merch. So merch is going to be available, I believe, next Friday. So when I'm launching this is on a Tuesday. So Friday, mark your calendars. Make sure you're following me because I'm going to be announcing when merch is available, but is a cute little sweater. It says Becoming Happy and Healthy. So make sure following along because there is going to be a limited quantity. So make sure you guys are following along, but we will have merch very, very soon. Now, before we get into this topic, you guys, I want to talk about something so crazy and finally get into some tea. So on my Instagram, I announced to you guys that I was on Dr. Phil. Yes. Crazy opportunity. Now, I kind of watched Dr. Phil growing up a little bit, and I found his episodes to be interesting. But in the last like 5 years, I've definitely not watched Dr. Phil. I mean, I don't know much about what his show is much anymore. And I randomly got a call one day, and my team was like, hey, they want you to come on Dr. Phil. And I'm like, what? Turns out Dr. Phil has a new network called Merritt Street Media that Dr. Phil is now on. And so they reached out to me and they said that they want to create episodes that are more, less drama filled and more have meaning to them. And so he's trying to get into more heavier topics. And one of them was, is religion declining in America? Heavy topic to talk about. And so they told me they had several different guests on there from a ton of church hurt, different backgrounds, people leaving the church for all sorts of reasons. And they wanted to ask me, do you believe that religion is declining in America? And so I came in with a different perspective. I wanted to talk about why I don't think religion is declining. Actually, no, I said, I think religion might be declining, but Jesus is not. And that was my approach. And they found that to be very interesting. And they were like, wait, whoa, we haven't heard anybody say that yet. And I basically said, look, like, religion may be dying, and I'm sure people are getting sick of organized religion. And there were some people that left the Mormon church. They left the Catholic church. Someone had, you know, they completely turned atheist. And these are all sorts of things that are very difficult to navigate and discuss. But I basically wanted to go on there and provide hope. I wanted to provide a solution. I wanted to be a voice of reason and say, yo, I'm finding that there's revival happening. I'm seeing all sorts of creators, influencers, actors, celebrities finding Jesus in the coolest, most authentic, dope ways. And so that was my take, because I said I wanted to say, I think revival is happening. I was recently part of one of these revivals happening. I went to Alabama. There's this thing called Unite, and people are hungry for truth. They're hungry for freedom. So while they may be leaving necessarily a church, I am not against the church. I basically wanted to say, no, I think revival is happening. And I told them that, you know, people are getting baptized in fountains, and I got to eventually be part of that in Alabama. And it was like the coolest thing ever. And so that was like kind of my take. Unfortunately, I didn't get to share that experience on the show. It was very interesting. I'll talk more about it when the show goes live, but like, it didn't really go as planned, and it wasn't exactly what I wanted. I didn't really get asked the questions I thought. He kind of asked a really strange question. I kind of got to share a little bit about my testimony, but he wasn't like, so Janine, you know, you think that revival is happening. You don't think religion is dying. So what's your take? I didn't get asked that. It was very strange. And so I barely got to talk. I maybe talked like 5 minutes max on the show, which was kind of like, okay, this was interesting. But there was just too many people on the show arguing, and there wasn't enough time. And I feel like it needed to be a 2-hour segment to really dive into these conversations. And it was very short. Commercial breaks kept cutting people off. I was sitting there like, oh, this is awkward. Where do I fit in here? And so really at the very end, you guys will see it. I'll eventually post it. I had my one-liner, and I kind of just hit home on that. And I think that really drove in my point and drove in what I was trying to say. So Once the episode goes live, I'll talk more about it, but it just was like a very interesting experience. It wasn't exactly what I was expecting. I'm very grateful I got to do the opportunity. And it sounds like Dr. Phil is trying to turn a new leaf and make better episodes and have more meaning to them, which I appreciate. And so super thankful I got to go on it, and I got to just basically share the gospel, share the hope of Jesus, and kind of give my perspective. But basically, I didn't really get to say what I wanted to say. And so while what I was saying is essentially like, I'm sorry to the people that have been hurt. I'm sorry to the people that have encountered the things that they have encountered that makes them want nothing to do with religion. But I'm always going to be someone that preaches relationship with Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. Church may hurt you. Religion may hurt you. People may hurt you. But that was never God's intention. It was never his intention. And so I just told him, hey, leave your heart open and let Jesus give you an encounter. And once you meet Jesus, everything else will fall into place. And so you'll see my thoughts on that on the show. But that was just something like so crazy. I announced it. The reaction was insane. And I'll let you guys know when the episode is live. Okay. Now I want to move on to what I really wanted to talk about, which is friendship. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. First of all, I want to let you guys know that I go in depth into this topic in chapter 4 of my book. I talk all about friendship because I know that we are in need of this, and we do. We literally need friendships. God does not desire for us to stay lonely, to stay isolated, and that's just not something that all of us should do, because the Bible talks so much about how there's this Bible verse that says, woe to the man that falls and has no one to pick him up. I know that it is so easy today in our culture and society to overprotect yourself, protect my peace, cut everybody off, everything's toxic. You know, the slightest disagreement or conflict or issue that you have with somebody, you're like, nope, bye, I'm done. And I just don't think that's the way that God desired it for it to be. Because inevitably, you guys, relationships are hard. Friendships are hard. People are complex. This is a complicated thing. But God provides solutions. I literally talk about how to handle conflict in chapter 4 because it's necessary. And it is not something that we can run away from. Y'all, this has been the year for me to have difficult conversations. I was somebody that ran away from hard conversations all the time. I was like, I don't want to do it. Not for me. No, bye. And I realized you can't do that, because then you have fake friendships, you have shallow friendships, friendships that aren't really real and honest. And finally, when I got real and honest, there my friendships grew. And so it's gonna be a hard, tough challenge to work on conflict, but it's necessary. Y'all, if you get married or if you are married, conflict is even more prevalent in marriage, let me tell you. Is anyone else tired of your favorite cut of beef or chicken costing more and weighing less every time you buy it? I don't want to have to search for a more affordable sticker price only to find out that I'm going to have to sacrifice the quality of meat I'd have to buy. But don't you worry, because I've got a sizzling solution for you because of our friends and sponsors of the show, Good Ranchers, and their price lock guarantee. This is the only price lock on 100% American meat you can find, and I do not want you to miss it. During their April Price Shield campaign, Good Ranchers is locking in your price until 2026. When you subscribe to any one of their boxes full of 100% American meat and seafood that they ship right to your door. Caleb and I are blown away by their quality, and we love that the company shares our same values of family and faith. Plus, we love that we get to support our local ranchers. Good Ranchers is where I get 100% American meat I can trust that's tender and full of flavor every time. With meat prices continuing to go up and quality at the store going down, Good Ranchers Price Shield will not only save you hundreds, but also help you put 100% American beef, chicken, pork, and wild-caught seafood on your plate that you can trust. Plus, get extra 10% off your subscription with my code HEALTHY at goodranchers.com today. Want to know what I really love about Good Ranchers and why I partner with them? It's their commitment to transparency. They believe that you have the right to know exactly what's in your food. They're amazing supporters of the show, so we can continue to provide you free content every week. So it would mean so much to me if you can also support them and take the mystery out of all the meat you buy. This exclusive Price Shield offer ends with the month of April. So if you want to secure your best price on meat until 2026, go to goodranchers.com. Use my code HEALTHY for 10% off your subscription and a price lock guarantee until 2026. Goodranchers.com, American meat delivered. One thing I know that we all have to do is grocery shop, and I also know we are all limited on time. So why not do it from the comfort of your couch? For me, that is where Thrive Market comes in, the no junk food, healthy grocery store that both Caleb and I love. Thrive Market is an amazing go-to for groceries and household items, and the convenience of getting everything online and then quickly shipped to my doorstep is a huge time saver. I love that Thrive Market carries brands with the highest quality ingredients and sourcing methods. They restrict hundreds of ingredients across their food and cleaning categories, and I can use their online filters to suit my lifestyle needs. So whether you're looking for organic kid snacks or low sugar alternatives or gluten-free pantry essentials, you can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks to make it simpler and healthier swaps. So for me, I definitely want the low sugar alternative. For Caleb, he has allergies to tree nuts. We can cater it to that. And I also like dairy-free milks and coffee creamer. So definitely that is a benefit for me. So not only do I save time shopping as a Thrive Market member, I also save money on every single grocery order. On average, I save over 30% each time, and they even have a deals page that changes daily and always have some of my favorites. We absolutely love their protein bars on there. We love getting rolled oats on there. We love the Annie's mac and cheese on there. There's so many, you guys, so definitely we are saving money. When you join Thrive Market, you are helping a family in need also with their one-for-one membership matching program. So you join, they give. It's so amazing. So save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/healthy for 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. That's Thrive, T-H-R-I-V-E, market.com/healthy, thrivemarket.com/healthy.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
So friendships are training for marriage. Living with roommates are training for marriage, because this is the time to prepare yourself to work on jealousy, comparison, conflict, disagreement, encouraging somebody, praying for somebody. Like, when you're married, you still have a friend. It's still a friendship. It's not just your spouse, it's your friend too. And so this is something absolutely worth fighting for. However, it's difficult. Why is this so hard? Why are friendships so difficult? Well, because like I said, number one, I feel like because everyone is so comfortable and okay with just being alone and hiding and watching Netflix and sitting on their phone and scrolling, and we're lazy. And I think out of that laziness and out of that loneliness, we opt for comfort. We opt for things that are easier to do than putting ourselves out there and potentially facing rejection, or potentially facing a no, or someone saying, hey, I don't want to be your friend, or hey, I'm too busy right now to hang out. So we just slide right back into comfort. But you guys, loneliness is an epidemic, and so what are you going to do about it? The ball is in your court. I can only sit for so long and give you encouragement and share all the tips and advice, but ultimately it is up to you at the end of the day to implement these and follow these. Now, friendships are difficult because people have been hurt. People have different backgrounds. You can't make someone be a good friend, and you can only be a good friend and have a good friendship and healthy relationship if this person is healthy too. And so inevitably, friendships are going to require challenge, compromise, change, calling each other higher, all the C's. I'm like, what's another C I can think of? Inconsistency. Truly though, it is true. Intentionality, consistency. I talk about in the book how, what makes a good friend and what do you need to do to be a good friend? I give a list of questions and things you need to ask yourself. Am I a good friend? And what should I look for in a good friend? You want to find someone that's reliable, intentional, godly, encouraging, that will pray for you. But friendships just are tough because it can be somewhat like dating. Like, you're going through this list and you're like, okay, do we fit? Do we vibe? Do we get along? And let me just say to you guys, I'm going to pull up because I did make some notes for this episode. There are different friendships for different reasons and different seasons. Now, not to sound all cliche, but it's true. I have, I would say, a plethora of friends in my life, but I would say I have about three best friends. Three to four close people that know me, that pray for me, that check up on me. And so there's going to be different people in your life for different seasons and different reasons. And I'll expand more about that. So different seasons. For example, maybe you had a best friend. I had a best friend in high school. I mean, we were inseparable, literally did everything together. And then I had another best friend that trickled out from high school into college. Same thing, literally best friends all of college. And then slowly but surely, me and my high school best friend faded away. You know, communication lessened. We just weren't in the same lifestyle anymore. She chose a different path. I wanted to become more of a deeper Christian, and she kind of went the opposite way. Then I had another friend, same thing, where we were best friends and she was an amazing friend for me. We still chat every now and then. But naturally, we just drifted, and I still respect her so much. But I think we both understood that, okay, this was just a season, and like, we're just not on the same wavelength anymore. And let me tell you, that's painful. It is so painful admitting that sometimes, because sometimes you try and you try and you try and you try and you try, and you're trying to basically fit a puzzle piece somewhere that it's just not meant to fit anymore. And sometimes you got to just like sit back and be like, okay, I've been trying to make this friendship happen. I've been forcing this to happen, and it's just not happening. Maybe it's time for me just to let it go. And so that's my point, is that those friendships all taught me something. Each of them played a part in my life. Each of them I was very thankful for. But it takes two willing people for the relationship to work. Like, one person can't only be putting in the effort and the work and the desire. And so friendships require two people putting in the work. And so before the friendship ends, it's kind of like you've got to have that assessment and maybe have those tough conversations. I talk about that in the book, of how to kind of have these conversations. But I mean, I remember kind of saying to a friend like, hey, like, are we good? Like, is this still a thing? And she's like, yeah, no, like, we're good. But I knew something was off, and I asked, and I kind of put the ball in her court. I reached out over and over and over and over, and finally it just wasn't happening. And so sometimes you've got to stop breaking your own heart by continually expecting someone to be your friend and be there for you when they're not, and they've shown you their cards. And so I knew, okay, I'm going to stop putting effort into this. I've tried, I've reached out, I've extended the olive branch, and it just kept getting cut. And so you've got to have that healthy self-assessment where you're like, okay, this friendship is coming to an end and I'm okay with that. And you can still love them and respect them from afar, but you don't know if it can come back eventually. Maybe again, it's not the season. And so that's my point to say, is that there's different people for different reasons and seasons, and God will use certain people to teach you things. I can absolutely look back on these friendships and be like, yes, they absolutely taught me something. I learned from something from them. And then the kind of the classic, like, thank you, next. You know what I mean? And so for different reasons though, like I said, like they all teach you something, but different seasons, like one may be there for a very specific moment. Maybe you're grieving, you're going through heartbreak, you needed someone to help you with something, but you've kind of gotten what you needed to get out of that friendship. Not that you're going in with a mindset of like, I'm just going to use them, but more just in the sense of like, okay, that was good. I needed that. Thank you, Lord. But I've grown, or maybe you've outgrown them or they've outgrown you. And that's just part of life. Y'all, I'm 30 years old now, and I have been through many rhythms of friendships where I know that that's a part of life now. But I think that one thing that we need to be careful of is that we don't just let them just slide and drift away without an effort. Because I think a lot of us, we get into our heads and we have insecurity. It's kind of what I said here. We create our own loneliness due to laziness or insecurity, where we're too lazy to put an effort, or we're insecure that they don't like us, or that we're not willing to have the tough conversation of like, hey, are we okay? Is this friendship okay? So we just let the friendship drift away. And that's not a good friend. A good friend is going to ask those hard questions. A good friend's going to check in. A good friend's going to say, hey, are we good? Is there something I did wrong? Do I need to take accountability for something? And I'll share another story. So I have a good friend in my life. We've been friends for like ever. I mean, the last 8+ years. And in the last 2 years, our friendship has drastically changed. And it's heartbreaking. It really, really is. But I think we both know that something's changed, and we both have admitted it. We've had a hard conversation about it where I've admitted to her, hey, I just don't think our friendship's ever going to be the same. It's changed. There's something different. We've tried, we've had the hard conversations. And so it's not that we didn't try, but it's just the reality that friendships go through ebbs and flows, but you still have to put in the effort to at least try to fix it or heal it. Unless this is a friendship you're just like, I don't really need it. Maybe they feel the same way, where it can naturally drift off and it's fine. But if that's not the case, then like, don't let the insecurity of like, oh, they don't like me, they don't care anymore, they don't want to be my friend, I texted them once and they didn't text back, that insecurity stop you from creating friendships or going deeper in friendships. Because I know we can be like that. It's like kind of like dating in some sense, where the guy didn't text you back or he didn't ask you out again. So you immediately self-sabotage and you're like, oh, never mind. Okay, I'm not going to reach back out because it's going to make me look bad and I'm cringy and I'm awkward and whatever. It's like, don't let that insecurity push you further into isolation. And when I mean loneliness or like laziness, like it's just like, a lot of us are opting for loneliness, like I said, because it's more easy. And y'all, I want to talk about this. I've talked about this in previous episodes that, and I talked about this in chapter 3 of my book. I'm sorry, I'm going to keep referencing this because it's true. Like these things that you guys ask me, it's in the book. And so I talk about the difference between isolation and solitude, and how isolation will push you towards loneliness, but solitude can push you more towards holiness. Because isolation will often be used by the enemy. Isolation is pulling you away from anything good, anything beneficial, and anything God-giving. Solitude is where you go and you get rest, you get peace, you get the presence of God. God fills you up. You're spending that intentional time to be with God, to get filled up, to be a better friend, to be a better Christian, to be a better wife, girlfriend, daughter, whatever, friend. And so, solitude is a place where God can use that time to create better habits in you and also to create deeper intimacy with Him. But often, so many of us, we choose loneliness because it just feels comfortable. But that is not God's design for us. He designed for us healthy solitude where we can be alone. I talked about this in chapter 3, how to be okay being alone. Be okay being alone, but don't stay there. We've got to have rhythms and flows of being okay being alone, time with God, taking ourselves out on dates. We work out by ourselves. We go on a walk. But then we need friends. We need people. And I want to read some Bible verses to you guys really fast about friendship, because I think a lot of people know that we need friends and they're scared and they're like, I know I need a friend, but like, how do I go about it? How do I do it? Why is this so difficult? So first of all, I want to just read a couple Bible verses, and I'm reading it literally straight from my book. I said, the Bible is clear about the importance of surrounding yourself with good people, not just good people, but godly people. What does the Bible say about friendship? Bad company corrupts good morals. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Proverbs 12:26. The Bible explains how people can build us up with encouragement, refine us with correction, and help us when we are weak, and simply provide companionship as we walk through everyday moments of life. Ecclesiastes 4:9 tells us, two are better than one. My life changed when I changed my playmates and my playgrounds, aka who I hung out with and where I hung out with them. Finding community doesn't come easy, but it is absolutely worth fighting for. So I read that because I believe that friendships have the power to absolutely bless your life, give you fruitfulness, change your life, call you higher, bring you higher, or absolutely demolish you, change you, destroy you, make you more insecure, make you do decisions that you wouldn't have normally done, to compromise, to shift back into to lukewarm faith. And so the question for you is, which one are you going to choose? As we see here, the Bible says like two are better than one. Bad company corrupts good morals. So you've got to look at your circle and say, are these people making me become a better person? Are they challenging me? Are they refining me? The Bible talks about iron sharpening iron, which means that you're sharpening each other. It's painful sometimes, but you are being more chiseled and refined, and it makes you look more like Christ. So I talked about that. My life completely changed when I changed who I hung out with and when I hung out with them. And so what you want to do, you guys, is assess the people in your life. And even if it's a small group of people, that's okay. I would rather you have 1 to 3 solid people than 20 flaky, shallow friendships. Truly. 1 to 3 better, deep, intimate. They know you. They keep you accountable. They call you higher. They challenge you. You're in Bible study with them, whatever. Than 20 shallow friendships that don't actually go deep. Because I realize in my life, and I think I wrote this down, you can't have 20 good friends. You can't. You can only go so deep with 20 people. And really what life is about is being known, being safe, being soothed, being seen, where friendships go deep. If you're only going and you're touching base and you're going for the appearance of having a big fun group and you're like, yay, everybody, look at me. I have so many friends. I remember that was me. Like I would literally hang out with people that didn't know me just for the sake of because I didn't want to be alone and I wanted people to think I had friendships, but no one actually really knew me. Like I would leave feeling not known, not more seen, not more cared for, and vice versa. I didn't make anybody feel like that. It was simply just like having fun. But then deep down inside, I was still lonely. And so what's the point of having 20 friendships that are shallow if you still feel lonely? Like if you still leave feeling like, yeah, I don't feel more known and seen. What's the point of it? Jesus always had about 3 disciples around him because those are the people that intimately knew him and walked with him and were with him. And so that is so important. Get rid of the ideology, get rid of the mindset, get rid of the TikToks that are like all the friendships and stuff. Yes, I have a lot of friends too. I'm sure you do too. But the main thing is does one person know you? Do they know your background? Do they know your story? Do they know your trauma, your triggers, your addictions? What are your sins? What are the lies you believe? It's your past history. Do they know those things? Because that is so important. And so that's my encouragement to you guys is like, it's okay that you have one friend. It's okay that you might have 2. It's okay that you have 20, but still knowing that you need consistent people in your life checking upon you. But why is this so hard? Because Everybody comes with a different background and fear and preconceived ideas on friendships. They have their own maybe friendship hurts or relationship hurts. People build up walls. They have trust issues. I mean, all sorts of things. Like, we're humans and we all have our own struggles. And so my encouragement is like, let's get past that. It's important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality. And that is why for over a year, both Caleb and I have been drinking AG1. Now, unlike many supplement brands, AG1 conducts relentless testing to set the standard for purity and potency. So you guys, many people ask me, is it the real deal? Do you actually drink it? Absolutely. Yes, we notice an absolute clear difference when we do take it versus don't take it. And I love it. So quality for AG1 isn't just a buzzword. It is a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, and rigorous testing. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. Now, I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's tested for 950 contaminants and banned substances, while the industry standard typically only tests for 10. That is crazy, you guys. So taking care of my health shouldn't be complicated, and AG1 simplifies this by covering my nutritional bases and setting myself up for success in just 60 seconds. Truly, you guys, it is so easy. One scoop AG1 mix in water every single day. AG1's ingredients are heavily researched for efficacy, quality, and I love that every scoop also includes prebiotics, probiotics, digestive enzymes for gut support, vitamin C, and zinc to support my immune health, and more, you guys. So if you guys want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1, try AG1, and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/healthy. That's drinkag1.com/healthy. Check it out. We cannot let our fears and our anxieties and our triggers and our traumas prevent us from having healthy community that lasts. Like, you will literally suffer this whole life if you never have somebody that fully knew you, that fully connected with you, and that fully cared for you. So how do you find this? I mean, think about the people already in your life. Surely you have at least one person, or surely you have at least two people, or maybe think at the top of your head, okay, who's one person in my life that I could put more effort into, that I could reach out to, that I could connect with, that I could say, hey, I know we haven't talked in a while, but I really admire you. I would love to get coffee with you. Would you be down to do that? Or maybe there's someone at your church that you've been meaning to connect with and you've gotten their number. Or maybe you're like, I feel like they could be a good friend. Make the effort. Like, take the risk or lose the chance. Truly, I want you guys to be bold. Like, that is your encouragement this week. Think of a person and text them. Like, I'm going to challenge you. Comment down below who you're going to text, or say, you know what? Yes, I'm going to text somebody. I'm going to meet them for coffee or whatever. Lunch, acai bowls. I'm going to go on a walk. And tell them, hey, I'm honestly really trying to find more friendships. I thought of you. I'd love to get to know you more. I don't know where you're at with friendships, but I'm needing community. Now, maybe you can't think of one person. So this is where the local church comes into play. That's what church is for. It's for building community. It's for connecting believers. The church literally means the body of Christ, which means us. Christians are people who are the church. We are supposed to be the church in the world, which means we go out, we help people, we bless people. Go to your church, talk to the leaders, talk to somebody that works there and say, hey, I'd love to get involved. I'd like to either serve or join a women's group or a small group. I promise you, it's going to take time, but the effort is worth it. Watch what God does with your yes. Watch when you take a bold chance. Watch what happens when you get out of your fear and out of your head and into the real world and you start putting yourself out there. Watch what happens. I thought about this the other day because Caleb and I, it was so funny. Caleb and I yesterday went to this new place in Dallas called Preston's Playhouse. And it's like this super sick, like indoor pickleball courts. It's so freaking cool. And as we were walking out, Caleb literally said to me, he was like, who would have known that just by us playing pickleball that we would meet so many people? And this would be like such a new like venture that we're doing. And I was like, I know. And I was like, who would have thought that like just by us saying yes and like joining this new hobby that we would meet so many people? Y'all, I talk about this in my book. I encourage you, say yes to things. Try new things. Maybe that's a volleyball club, a pickleball club, a dance class, a Bible study, something, whatever interests you, a painting class. If you say yes, you will meet people. You can say hi, you be friendly, you get people's names. Literally, I met this girl yesterday at pickleball. We exchanged numbers, turns out she goes to my church and she's my age. And I was like, this is so dope. I got her number. I'm like, great. That's what it takes. Simply saying, what's your name? Where are you from? What's your background? What's your job? Oh my gosh, you're so fun. I'd love to get your number. We should meet back up. We make this way more complicated than it needs to be, truly. And so I just don't want us being lazy. And I get it. It's tough. Like, this takes time. I'm not negating that. I've been there. I've done that. But there are billions of people in the world to where I'm like, y'all, there's somebody out there for you that's meant to be your friendship. Now, maybe you already have friends. Maybe you're already in it. You're like, okay, guy, I already got my friends. I'm chill. I'm good. Now what? This is when you go deeper. This is when you check up on your friends. Hey, how's purity going? How's that lie, you know, going that you've been thinking about? I remember you told me you were struggling about blank. Can I pray for you? What does that look like? Let's go on a walk this week. It's intentionality, consistency. One of my friends recently, I'm trying to give you guys examples so you can kind of see practically what this looks like. One of my friends got fired from her job and she called me sobbing and was so distraught. She was freaking out. She was running out of money. 2 months goes by. She's running out of money. She's so nervous. She's like, I do not know what to do. We prayed together. We prayed. And I encouraged her and I was like, girlfriend, I believe God is going to show up. I know that you're stressed out. You're literally on the last week of your funds. I was like, I don't know why, but I just feel like God's going to show up. The last day possible, she got a job. Literally the last day possible when she was like, Jay, my funds are about to run out. Got an amazing job with J. Crew, a bonus. I mean, all these crazy things. And she just calls me like, Janine, you will not believe it. Prayer works, blah, blah, blah. Like, we prayed together that God would show up and we believed. And like, that is what you need to do for your friends. Intercede on their behalf, because when your friends don't have faith, that's when you step in. You have to sometimes be the faith and be the strength for your friend when they don't have it. And that's what good friends do. We need to be that for them and vice versa. And so go deeper, intercede for your friends when they're struggling with singleness or identity or body image or insecurities. Dive deeper, pray for them, cover them, all that stuff. Because, you know, we need that. Like, that is what friendship is about. When life is hard, oh my gosh, life is so much harder already on its own. But then to do it alone is like, like, if you're not watching the YouTube video, that's me punching the air, because it's like a punch to your face. It's so much harder. So if you have friends in your life and you're going through things and you're struggling, shoot them a text, shoot them a voice memo, please pray for me. And then celebrate them. Celebrate them when they get the thing they've been praying for or the thing that they've been like struggling with. Like, when my friend got her job, I sent her flowers to congratulate her and celebrate her and say, I'm so proud of you, because she waited and God made her wait. But that waiting created perseverance and a deeper faith in the Lord. And I'm proud of her for that. So champion your friends. Go deeper. Ask them questions. Don't just sit there and be on your phones and only take pictures and do fun things. Yes, you can do all of those. But I feel like, to me, friendship is so wasted if you don't go deep. Like, if you don't actually leave knowing the person more and vice versa. And so, for me, I have those three best friends and we go deep. We pray for each other. We check up on each other. And these are people I can be brutally honest with. And I want you guys to do the same. Be honest with the struggles, with the addictions, with the thoughts, the lies, the insecurities, whatever you're feeling. You've got to say, hey, I've been really struggling with my weight this week. I've been feeling like I am ugly or less than or whatever. Be honest and say, will you pray for me? And hopefully your friend will be a good friend that will actually pray for you. And so I just want to encourage you guys to go deeper, but it's going to require participation on your end to make these friendships work. Nothing worth having comes easy and comes quickly. And so friendships are going to take time. They're going to take consistency. They're going to take effort. It's going to take some conflict. But again, this is all training and what God wants us to use for future marriage as well. I think also something that I want to remind us and kind of wanted to go back to of people, there's different friends for different things and different seasons and all sorts of things like that, different people in your life for different things. So there can be multiple different types of friends as well. Like ideally, I'd hope that you'd have like your three close friends or your one best friend or whatever, but there's going to be different friends for different things. So like I was saying in the very beginning, I was thinking about this, how I have different friends in different pockets and categories. Like I have certain friends that I mainly just text when I like really, really need prayer. They're older than me. They have kids, but they're like my supportive prayer warriors. Then you might have your adventure buddy, the friend that's like so fun. They're down to clown. They're down to do anything. They want to go try the new sports or book the trip. And hopefully you can still have good, meaningful conversations with them. And then there's maybe like the caring friend, the friend that you just when, you know, crap hits the fan or you're really going through it. This is the friend that you text and you're just like, hey, I really need prayer. I need accountability. And then there's also the friend that may just be, like I said, like the friend that you see maybe once a month or you see every now and then, but when you see them, it just falls right back into place and time has never passed. Or maybe they're the long distance friend, which sadly, all my best friends are long distance, which is really hard, but we make it work because we care about each other. And you might have one of those friends. And so it's okay that you have different friends in different pockets. But again, I think it's important to have a consistent rhythm and to not forsake people around you, not forsake Christian community that is in your church or that might be at the local club or your job. Oh my gosh, your school. There's so many people around you that if we just put in a little bit more effort, we could create friendships. And I think a lot of times people are just scared. They're scared to make the first move. They're scared to create the Bible study. What if it fails? What if it doesn't go right? What if no one wants to show up? Okay, so what if? But how will you know if you don't try? And so my encouragement, start the group, start the pickleball club, start the running club, start whatever. You don't know what is going to happen. That's what's so exciting about life is you don't know what's going to happen. Who's stopping you? Yourself. So stop letting yourself live in fear and live in loneliness and live in these insecurities that further push you into isolation. What I am going to say though too is isolation might be necessary for a time. I'm jumping all around. I'm so sorry. But isolation might be necessary for some time, but I also think it's for a short amount of time. Kind of going back to the isolation versus solitude. Some seasons you're just going to be isolated. Maybe you move to a new city. Maybe you've lost a best friend. You've lost a relationship. And because of that relationship, he pulled you away from all your friends. Maybe you went to college and you feel lonely. So don't feel guilty and bad on yourself for feeling lonely because everybody feels lonely every now and then. Everybody feels waves and strides of feeling lonely. I feel lonely sometimes. Like, hello, I feel lonely sometimes and I have a lot of friends, but sometimes it's like that one person you want to be able just to call up and be like, I need a friend. Can you come over? And like I said, most of my best friends are long distance. I don't really have that. So there's going to be certain seasons where you're just going to be lonely, but I feel like God can very much meet you in those lonely times. Specifically for me, when I think about back to the time of being really lonely was during the pandemic. And I think a lot of us, oh my gosh, that was when like loneliness was like an epidemic. But I also think that God really used that and God can use everything for his glory, everything for his good. I don't want isolation to push you further into loneliness, further into these insecurities, further into these lies. I want it to push you further to Christ and further to making more an effort with people. Because I do think that each season is going to teach us something. Each season is for a reason. And so if you're feeling lonely right now, I think that God can use it. How will you use this season? Like, are you going to let it be a victim mentality of like, oh my gosh, no one reaches out to me. I'm a loser. No one likes me. I'm just going to be alone forever. Or are you going to say, God, I'm going to use this time to get to know you, to dive deep into my word, to go on these prayer walks, to listen to podcasts, to really work on myself, to grow mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Like you get the choice to live in a victor mentality or a victim mentality. Which one are you going to choose? Because if you're sitting there all day long saying, woe is me, this is so hard, I can't find friends, I'm always lonely, no one likes me, you're just going to stay in that. And it's like, okay, but you're the one further pushing yourself into that. And so I don't want you to let that win. Like, you have to think of yourself already as a victor in the situation to become a victor. You see what I'm saying? Victory is yours through Christ Jesus. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. So believe that you're a conqueror. Believe that you'll get through this season. Believe that God wants good things for you more than you do in this season. But it's the classic situation. Are you going to let this situation cause you to grow and to better yourself? Or are you going to let it shift you into more of a victim mentality, or a mentality where you become bitter and angry and resentful at life and at God and at yourself? You get to choose. Because life really is about perspective. It's all about perspective. And so there's times when, yeah, you have a pity party. I've had pity parties where I sit there and I'm like, this is hard and I'm annoyed and my friends aren't reaching out and I didn't get invited and I got left out, whatever. Like, I get it, y'all. I've been there. I've done that. But I just feel like it's not always going to be like that. And like, how can you use the time? Maybe if someone did leave you out or someone didn't include you, how can you find other friends and make sure that no one else gets excluded? And make sure that you're a good friend to the next person that comes along. Or who else can you text to make a different friend group if you need to be? And so there's always a solution, you guys. Like, there's always going to be a way out. And we just have to sometimes not limit our mindset or limit the opportunities or the options and not be like, okay, you know what? It's just always going to be like this. This is so hard. Just be like, you know what? That door's shut and I'm going to open up another one. Okay, thank you. Next, bye. Like, you've got to have that mentality, y'all. Life is too short. There's so many options. There's billions of people on the earth for us to only think that that one group, that one friend group, that one person is going to be where we can find friendship, or this one church. Like, there's so many people, so many options. And so start seeing your life and opportunities in different friend groups and churches and travel and everywhere you go as an opportunity to meet friends, to make things happen, for good things to happen to you. And I want to stress this. I'm rambling, but I want to stress this. Prayer works. Prayer works. God, please, I need friends. I don't want to be lonely anymore. Lord, will you bring me a friend? Will you please come and bring a group of girls for me? And also remembering that Jesus calls us friends. Like, he says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. This is the time when you're feeling lonely to make Jesus your best friend. I know this sounds so cliche, but it's true. Prayer works. Lean upon Lord in this time and make Jesus your best friend. Because here's what happens if you don't make Jesus your best friend. You'll go to places, things, people, relationships, jobs, all sorts of things, trying to find worth and value and acceptance and love and all these things in the wrong places. If you are lonely, if you don't have friends, if you're waiting for a relationship for God to bless you with one, make Jesus your best friend right now. That is going to set the tone, the foundation. It's going to set you up for success so that when you do go to these relationships, you do go to these friendships, you do go to these things, you don't go to them looking to solve all your problems. Because let me tell you, they're not going to. People are flawed human beings, which is why this is so difficult. They cannot be your end all be all. These people cannot be your everything, your solution, your end all be all to your entire problem. So first and foremost, I want to encourage you to make Jesus your best friend. This looks like journaling to him, praying to him, reading the Bible, reading books, like getting to know what does Jesus's voice sound like. That takes solitude. That takes slowing down. That takes you sitting alone with him and saying, God, reveal yourself to me, putting on worship music, going on prayer walks, all sorts of things like that. And so that is going to set the tone for the rest of your life. But I want you to know that God wants friendships for you more than you want them for yourself. Because he says in the beginning of the Bible, two are better than one. No, he doesn't. He says that it is not good for man to be alone. So God knows more than you do that it is not good for you to be alone. Because he knows that when we are alone, we are weak. We're susceptible to sin, to secrecy, to lies, to fall prey to the enemy's temptations, to all sorts of things. And so this is why God says it is not good for man to be alone. But then when we look at scripture, Jesus goes alone all the time. But that was for a short season. He goes there to get recharged, refueled, to get the presence of God, to know God's voice, and then he goes back sent out to go and bless people. So you see the difference. Solitude versus isolation. I talk about this in my book. Isolation pulls you away from God. Solitude pushes you towards God. So each season is meant for something. And I want you to use this time to pray. Let it push you further to God. Say, God, I need community. And God wants that for you too. But you've got to partner with God. You've got to put yourself out there. You've got to be bold. You got to text that friend, text the person, start the group. This is your sign. Start the group and send the text. That is your happy and healthy challenge this week. I want to encourage you guys to do that. I'm going to do that this week as well. Put myself out there. So that is my prayer for you guys. And I really hope that this helps you out a little bit. I know this is difficult. And I know friendships are not always easy, but they're worth fighting for. And they're going to come with conflict and disagreements and jealousy and all the things. And maybe that's a different topic of like how to handle jealousy in friendships. But ultimately, you just got to celebrate people the way that you want to be celebrated. You've got to release that and say, okay, God is not a God of lack. He's a God of abundance. Whatever God is giving her, he has for me in my own personal unique shape and form. Why would you want the exact same thing that God gave someone else when God has your own unique personal gifts that he's given just for you? So God is a God of abundance. He has enough for everybody. He's going to bless you. So also pray for your friends. When you see your friends get the thing that you want, I've been there. I've done that. It's tough. I know. But I want to encourage you, release that and say, God, I trust you because you too have good things for me. And I want to encourage her. I want to celebrate her. I want to champion her the way that I would want that too. Because when you get good things too, you would want that friend to also show up and celebrate you as well. Talk about that in chapter 2 of my book. The last thing I want to say really fast too is if you read the Bible, you'll also see that Jesus really was the perfect picture of friendship, the way he served his friends and he led them and he cared for them and he was so tender and he showed up to their house and he ate and he wept when they wept. Like if you read the book of John or even Luke, you'll see how Jesus was such a good friend. And so you'll get to see more of what does a godly friendship look like as you read the Bible, because Jesus was the perfect picture of friendship. And the last thing that I also want to say is that I do, again, want to just finalize on this because I mentioned this at the beginning, how, again, there's different friendships for different things. And there's three types of friendships that you could have. People that are behind you, people that walk alongside you, and people that are in front of you. So to summarize this, people that are in front of you are people that you are learning from. They may be older, they're married, they're maybe steps ahead of you, they can mentor you. They're people that you call when you really need advice, mentorship, counsel. So you can have three different types of people that are ahead of you, and those are the people that you call when you're like, I don't know what to do. I have many women like this in my life that when I was dating, I was struggling, I was going through heartbreak, career, called them up. I was like, I need help. You can go to your local church to find this or think of a mom, a parent, a teacher, whomever. People alongside you are people linking arms with you, doing life with you. Those are your best friends, people maybe in your age group, people in your college or your university. These are the friends that are just doing daily life with you. And these are the friendships that I think you guys are wanting and desiring. And then the people behind you does not mean less than, but it means people that are maybe younger or maybe aren't as developed in their faith. These are people that you are pouring into, you're mentoring, you're praying for, you're holding them accountable, you're challenging them, and you're pouring into them. So for example, I mentor a girl, her name's Emmy. She's so sweet. I'm meeting with her today. She's in high school. And so I pour into her and I help her navigate the struggles that she's facing in her life. And she's younger and she's needing mentorship. Then I have my three to four best friends that are linking arms with me. We do life together. They know everything about me. They hold me accountable. They call me out my crap. They don't let me slip back into sin, all the struggles. And then I have about two to three older women that I can call when life is hard. I need advice. I need prayer. And so pray specifically for those. But I think sometimes you first need to be fully discipled before you can disciple. So I had to go through a ton of my own stuff and be fully discipled before I could pour into this girl, Emmy, because I needed to work out on my own stuff. So maybe for a season, you need to first be discipled before you can disciple. But eventually, we're all called to be disciples, to pour in other people, to pour in different generations, people nearby us. Maybe this person is still your age range, but eventually, we're called to make disciples and make people better. And so hopefully that makes sense, three different types of people in your life. And so I think that is kind of where I'm going to end. I want to pray for you guys because I know friendships are tough. This is something that people ask me just all the time. And I know this is hard, but I believe that it's not impossible. And with God, all things are possible. And I just want you to encourage today, after this podcast, I want you to pray over yourself. Sometimes you got to advocate for yourself if no one else is. You've got to pray. You got to know that God hears these prayers and he cares for you and he loves you and he wants friendship for you. And so I'm here to be hopefully a helping hand, but sometimes you got to do that for yourself. And so I'm going to pray over you, but I want you guys to also pray along yourself and just ask God to bless you. So after this podcast, I'm going to challenge you to pray over yourself. And then secondly, text somebody this week that you know you need to reach out to or someone that you want to make a better connection with. And that is your challenge of this week. Okay, let's pray, everybody. Lord, I just pray over anybody listening today that is lonely, struggling with friendships. They feel lackluster. They don't know how to find these godly friendships. Lord, would you meet them, God? I pray, Lord, that somebody would get a text today or a friendship group text or some sort of opportunity to meet friends. Or maybe it's in an abnormal way. It's a coffee shop, a workout class, or they're on a walk or whatever. But Lord, I pray that you would give this person that's listening the boldness and the courage to start a group or join a small group or do something, Lord. I pray that you would bless this person, that you would help them to not be alone, that this would be the time that they would dive deep into your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help this person in their loneliness, know that you have not left them, that you care, that you love them so much, and that you have plans to prosper them and not to harm them. And so, Lord, I pray miraculously that they would start meeting people in all sorts of ways, that their friendships would go deeper, that they would hold each other accountable, that they would find freedom in their friendships in Jesus' name. So, Lord, be with this person. Bless them right now in the name of Jesus. The last thing I actually want to say really fast, I completely forgot about this, is I have two ways for y'all to meet friendships. I have my Abide Tribe Facebook page, which you can search. It's also in the bio in my Instagram, in all my links tab, and you can join my Geneva chat where people meet up there all the time. Now, please, if you're going to be meeting up with people, make sure it's safe. Don't go alone. Don't go meet up with a creeper who is a catfish secretly. Be safe. Please do this at your own discretion. But I do have the Abide Tribe Facebook page, and I also have the Geneva chat, which are linked both in the bio of my Instagram, where you can join these. You can chat in there. Hey, I live in Portland, or I live in California. I want to meet up with friends. I have so many girls that have made their friends this way, and I want to encourage you guys to do the same. So you guys, be blessed. I love you guys. Check out my book, Happy and Healthy. I have more tips in here for all the things that you guys are navigating, all the questions you submitted me. It's in this book, Becoming Happy and Healthy. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target. I'll have the link down below. And our Patreon, 2 extra podcasts a month. I love you guys. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Happy and Healthy. If this was a blessing to you or an encouragement, share it with a friend, comment down below, leave a review for me on this podcast, and tag it on Instagram stories. I love you guys. I'll see you next week for another episode of Happy and Healthy. But until then, stay happy and healthy. Bye, guys.